on today's episode of the Conspiracy Manifesto.
10-4. Yeah, I'm gonna need some backup.
These aren't politicians. These are corrupt officials running Iraq. These are totally corrupt people.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of the Conspiracy Manifesto. I'm so grateful you guys have taken time out of your day to listen to my musings and for us to educate ourselves about what's really going on in the world. Whether fact or fiction, it's important to theorize and speculate the truth because we know for a fact that there are sinister groups that operate secretly in the world, and if they're not going to tell us what they're planning, then we're just going to have to speculate. And so that's the intention of this podcast. Not to take anything with more than a grain of salt, but to investigate groups, organizations, whistleblowers, declassified documents, and any theory that's widely known or maybe a little bit underrated and should be talked about more often. And we're going to look at all these different ideas, go through the facts. I'm going to run through my own perspective on the ideas. And often I'm going to have interview guests with me or multiple guests who are experts on the topic or just really funny people who talk about this topic. So today's topic is on the theories and purpose of our origins. And not just our origins as human beings, but the universe's origins. And I know this is such a huge topic, one that I hope to cover over many episodes as the interconnectivity of all information provides us a greater picture and a deeper understanding of why we're really here. But there are three topics that I wanted to cover in more detail. The three topics today are going to be the simulation theory, theory on conscious ascendance and different densities of consciousness, and a theory about ancient Egyptian gods. So with the first theory today, the simulation theory. Now this theory is one of the most talked about theories, even in the scientific community, where it's actually been researched. And there's actually many forms that this theory could take on. For example, the simulation could actually be a relived memory or potentially a dream that we're existing in right now. Somebody else's dream or a dream of our own. We could exist within a virtual reality or be in a video game. Although I'm not too sure about the video game one because, frankly, this would be a pretty lame video game to just work ourselves to death. But the simulation theory is really interesting. There's some additional theories that back up this theory, such as the Mandela effect. Not sure if you've ever heard of it, but there's collective memory of people that remember Mandela dying in 1980 in a South African prison. And in this reality that we exist in right now, he actually died in 2013. And so a lot of people noticed that they had this collective memory around the death of Nelson Mandela, and that's how this effect was born. It's also theorized that this has to do with us being within alternate timelines and jumping timelines, which could also mutually exist with the simulation theory. My other favorite example of this is the Berenstain versus Berenstain Bears books, because I personally grew up with these books in the 90s, and I know for a fact they were the Berenstain Bears. But if you see the cover of the book today, it's the Berenstain Bears, which frankly just sounds wrong. And that one's always bothered me. And so that's a really common theory or piece of evidence, if you could call it that, in regards to the simulation theory. Even more interesting than collective memory, which is obviously faulty, is the fact that physicists have studied this on multiple different occasions and have claimed that it's actually not been possible to disprove the simulation theory as they attempted to disprove it. The only evidence put forth to disprove the simulation theory is that our computer technology as it stands can't actually create a virtual reality to this level, but that really doesn't mean anything because we're light years behind in scientific development, as has been pointed out in many UFO investigations, and we'll get into that at some point, whether you believe it or not. There is evidence that there is science within other life forms that is light years beyond ours. So to say that just because we can't compute this within our own computers doesn't mean that the simulation theory is not possible. There are some scientists that have put forth research papers about this specific topic of a simulation, such as Nick Bostrom, Max Tegmark, and even Elon Musk will speak on the subject. And it's pretty clear, based off of the Neuralink and other studies that he's working on, he knows something he's not exactly saying about the source of reality. And I think the reason that the public is so uncomfortable with this information is because we don't want to admit that what we see around us, what we feel, what we sense is not real. But there's a lot of evidence put forth to propose that we are within a simulation, whether computer-based or not. And I think this is a topic that just needs to be discussed more often. More non-organized religion-based topics about our origins and things that aren't so rooted in science either, although science is an incredible guiding force of the material reality that we exist in now, it still doesn't attempt to understand the true theories of the universe. I mean, there's groups like CERN that are doing research on the Hadron Collider. If you've ever heard of it, definitely look into that. That could be a topic for later, although it is pretty covered in other podcasts. But there's definitely groups out there that are researching these theories of the origin, but they're all using these metrics of physics as we know them, and not a lot of them attempt to understand things on a different level that's not based on material laws, that's based on something a little bit more cosmic and potentially even magic. There is a divine order to the universe that leads me to believe that there is more to the picture than we see it now. And even physicists can admit that clearly if they're researching these origins and deeper truths about the universe. They know something is up, and it's time that society starts discussing it as well. So that's our first theory about simulation. Now, the second theory is going to be about densities of consciousness. And I'm going to try to make this not so wordy because it is a little bit informational, but I have a lot of friends that ask me to kind of go deeper on the subject with them. And to get into this topic, I kind of need to define the difference between density and dimension because they are used pretty interchangeably in this literature, but they do actually mean different things. So density, if you remember from high school physics, it equals mass over volume. So density of consciousness is harder to think about because hard to think of something like consciousness having mass. So think of it having a really big volume, and these different densities of consciousness allow us to have different levels of awareness into the truth behind reality, and there's different lessons within every density of consciousness. And then there's also the word dimension, which is often used because we are scientifically proven to be within a third dimensional reality right now. And dimension can be used to explain like a realm or a world or a third dimensional object, such as something with three sides. So as I attempt to explain this topic today, don't think of it as the third dimension or fourth dimension, as physics has suggested that we are actually a third dimensional reality within a fourth dimensional universe. That is true, but not what I'm talking about here today. So, density-based consciousness. The first density is suggested to be consciousness that is of low vibrational matter, such as rocks, water, inanimate objects, and things of that nature that have little to no awareness. But they're still conscious and they're still alive, whether we see that fact or not. The next density of consciousness, as this consciousness ascends or transforms into the second density, which is correlated with animals, plants, and fungi. This density is said to have more awareness, and the lessons in this density correspond to life and survival, etc. Then we move into the third density of consciousness, which is said to be where humans exist at this very moment. Lessons within the third density of consciousness are all about free will, which, if that doesn't resonate with what happens in our world, I don't know what does. This density has full self-awareness and reasonable intelligence, although I think that's generous. But within this density of consciousness, it's a physical realm. They're meant to be having a physical experience without the knowledge of the soul and our innate reason of existence in order to develop that free will. We have that full free will in the third level. Without knowing the truth, we're able to make our own free decisions, which is more of an experimentational realm, where there is, unfortunately, supposed to be to some extent some level of suffering so that you may learn your lessons and then ascend into the fourth density of consciousness. The fourth density of consciousness is another physical density. It's known as the emotional realm. Lessons in this realm are all about love. It is possible that when we die in our level of consciousness, we reincarnate into this fourth density consciousness where we will remember who we are as a soul and our intention as a soul group. But as we know from extraterrestrial life, not all fourth density consciousness is of pure heart. And many extraterrestrials, as we know them, are said to be from this fourth density of consciousness. And we will be going over those in our next episode. So stay tuned for that topic. Very excited for that. So then we move into this fifth density of consciousness, which is said to be where we go when we dream. It is a stopping point between the physical and the ethereal and is half physical, half spirit. Not sure if you guys are lucid dreamers. I'm a very deep and lucid dreamer to the point where my dreams are often confused with reality because they just felt so real to me and I remember them so vividly. I thought that was really interesting about this density of consciousness because I've always felt like I really do go to another realm or another world when I dream. It's almost like an alternate reality. And there are said to be natives from this dimension, some even as we know them as extraterrestrials, as we know and love them today. For example, it is said that the Pleiadians are said to be from this fifth density. If you know anything about the Pleiadians and all of the structures in the world that align with this star system, it is very peculiar how they were able to time travel basically all around the world to these communities that were building back in basically the Stone Age to help them and give them tools to build these structures and give them knowledge and science, etc. And they helped build these structures all over the world in different places, which suggests that they did have a deeper level of awareness that we do at this moment to be able to time travel, manipulate time and space, to jump back and forth and, you know, apparate to us as they needed, which suggests that aliens, as we know them, could potentially be a different density of consciousness, potentially, you know, a virtual reality, that they're not actually physically here, and they just apparate to us in a form that we are more familiar and comfortable with. So that's a little bit off topic. I'm going to hop back into the densities of consciousness before we get too off topic here. Then we move into the sixth density of consciousness. This is supposed to be a completely ethereal level of consciousness, so no longer taking on a physical form as we see it in our reality. Souls here have completed a personal evolution and grouped together as a united soul group. This density is known to us as soul guides or spirit guides or ancestors who have lessons on insight and perception and are said to give us answers through signs and symbols, as many people in the New Age type of spirituality believe that they see through numerology, or if you use tarot cards, or even through Reiki, people call on the archangels, etc. That higher consciousness that's supposed to be guiding us is said to be here in the sixth density. The seventh density of consciousness in many systems is the final density of consciousness. I use an 8 density system. So the seventh density to me is very similar to the 8th. Both of them are basically source consciousness, God consciousness. There's no more self. It's said that the seventh density is still individualized consciousness as the soul group, whereas 8th is completely unindividualized, absolute nothingness. If you can imagine antimatter as an entire universe, that would be the 8th density of consciousness. I like to imagine this system very similar to the chakras, because the 7 system of chakras, as we know them, of the human energy body, extend outside of ourselves, and they also have these outer energy chakras that encompass them, and that's how I like to think of the 8th chakra. And it's very similar to the 7th chakra at the crown, but it has this encompassing and protective energy, and energy at that point can either ascend into the next cycle or remain infinite in that God state of consciousness. So I know that was really wordy. I tried to keep it as short as I could, but if you stuck in this long, you may have found it as interesting as I always have, because it does align with physics theories as they stand in terms of us being in this third dimensional reality. And this could potentially align with those density systems of consciousness as I just explained them. So we're going to move into our third theory, which, like I said, was an ancient Egyptian theory about demoted gods. So it's said in these ancient mythologies that two gods, Atum, the sky god, and Ava, the god of life, had performed ungodly acts that got them sent to a prison, i.e. Earth. This was actually just supposed to be a prison realm for the gods. They were sent here in an embodiment of the divine to learn the spirit lessons and repent from their sins, which would eventually let them return to the ethereal or the heavens and become gods once again. But unfortunately, they failed to learn their lesson. They eventually reproduced and created societies to worship them. Atum is said to have built the Egyptian society we now know, in comparison with like the pyramids of Giza and the hieroglyphics, etc. So the ancient Egyptians actually did worship a quote-unquote sky god, as it's referenced, who in this theory was Atum. But this was eventually capitalized on and loosely interpreted into the monotheistic religions we see today. And that's what I like about this theory, is that it provides context for the religions that we see today and of the timing of the Bibles being written in ancient Israel that ultimately led to Judaism, Christianity, the Muslim religion, and many other religions as we know them today. It was as if they capitalized on some ancient events and turned them into a form of fear and control and power, because there is some shred of truth to these religions, but they've been used otherwise. And now I'm going to go over my thoughts, my musings. Personally, like I said, because I subscribe to that idea of consciousness, I do believe that we are not meant to know the answer in this experience that we're having. What I believe for certain, though, is that we chose this incarnation that we are currently in. We're born forgetting the truth and have societal and mental obstacles that we have to conquer in this experience. But through this evolution, we gain access to other senses, such as manifestation on a divine level, which we don't have currently operating under material law. I do believe that this transcendence and evolution of souls creates a profound energy exchange that, for some reason, lower entities and vibrations actively try to inhibit this process so that we can't access higher energy and realms. There's definitely something benefiting off of us remaining in the mental prison of the third dimension. But that I will also save for another episode. So if you have made it this far, we've come to our call to action. I really want to hear your opinion on this subject and every subject we cover in further episodes. You'll be able to respond to open discussions on both Instagram and Reddit at r/theconspiracymanifesto and at Instagram at theconspiracymanifesto. You could also find us on our website at theconspiracymanifesto.com, where I'll be putting a schedule of future episodes and looking for any volunteers who would like to talk on the show about specific episodes and get information out to the public so that we can start opening up about more interesting subjects, to be frank, because I'm really sick of small talk and people calling conspiracy theories craziness and sticking with the status quo. We need to shake the status quo in order to shake the shackles that tie us to capitalism and the conforming aspects of society that haven't helped our mental health. Mental health is the worst it's ever been in the world. And there's a reason why. It's because we're not living the way that we are meant to as human beings. We're not meant to suffer this much. I think we've done the suffering. It's time for us to transform our energy, transform our consciousness, and live a better life as a soul group. So thank you so much for tuning in today. I can't wait to get into more topics. Our next episode, like I mentioned earlier, is going to be on aliens. Some of the aliens I'm going to cover are the Pleiadians, like I mentioned, the Anunnaki, and potentially the Greys and Reptilians if I have time in that episode. So thank you so much. I'll see you next week on the Conspiracy Manifesto.